I'm waiting for somebody to turn the teleprompter on. Hey, before I start, I have a couple of rhetorical questions. Why do we applaud a race car driver who drives in an Indy race and a Busch NASCAR race on the same day? We applaud an athlete who plays in a football game and a playoff baseball game on the same day. But so many people are play-hating on Vince Carter because he wants to get his degree and play in an NBA playoff game the same day. Our athletes are criticized all over the place for not getting their degree. Vince saw what was important, to get his degree and then go play in the game. So he's going to go out and drop 42 points, 8 boards, and 6 assists on Philly tonight and shut everybody up. Thank you all very much. Wow, I think, is the first word that comes to mind for me. And I think the second word is surreal. I sat where you all sit 14 years ago, and I listened to then Baseball Commissioner Peter Ueberroth. And to tell you the truth, bro, I don't know what that man said. I really don't remember. And it wasn't because he was boring. He wasn't. I think it was more the matter of, here I was about to graduate. I was excited. I was scared. I was happy. I was confused. I was jobless. I was also a bit winded because my Mu Zeta chapter, the Alpha Phi Alpha frat brothers, and I had just done an impromptu step show right here in the 50-yard line. So, you know, oh, thanks. I say all that to say, I feel you guys. I know where you're coming from. 14 years wasn't that long ago. The last thing you want, because you've been out getting your party on all night last night, all week, the last thing you want is for somebody to come up here for 45 minutes telling you to go forth and prosper. I ain't going to do that. In fact, I don't want to so much tell you what to do as just give you some things to think about. I am blessed to have gone to school here for 4 years. You all are blessed for the same reason. And you won't realize the depth of it until later on in life, and that's natural. All of us who have gone to school here, we know that there is something very special about this place, the tradition, the campus, the social life, the academic life. That's why them kids 8 miles down Highway 15501 love to play a hate on us, don't they? Jealousy is an ugly emotion, isn't it? Oh, by the way, speaking of Duke, did you all hear the news? It's really good. Shane Battier has been granted special permission by the NCAA to go back to Duke and play college basketball as long as he likes. It's called ambassador status, and it's cool. No, it's good news for Duke because, you know, they're no good in the NBA anyway. They're also going to let Shane call his own fouls. One NCAA official said, our referees do their very best to help Shane out. But as everybody can see, especially from the February 1st game with North Carolina, they do occasionally inhibit his game. So since Shane does know the game as well as anyone, we feel it's best that he just be a player ref. Back to reality. Back to us. There is something that's it's a special, unique, shared bond that all of us here at Carolina have. And in my business, I run into a whole lot of Tar Heel alums basically because, you know, we dominate the rosters of the NBA, NFL, Major League Baseball, soccer, track and field. We're all over the place. And every time we see one another, it's always the same thing. Yo, what up, Tar Heel? We just saw, yo, what's up, Tar Heel? We all do it. Well, all of us except Rasheed Wallace. I saw Sheed, I said, yo, what up, Tari? He just stared at me. I didn't have no other choice, man. I had to tee him up twice and throw him out the game. Rasheed is different. And you know what? That's cool. That's okay. It is the beauty and is one of the best things we learn here about Carolina. Diversity is special. And you all probably had more diversity here than you will as you move forward. I know all of you want to do more than just get a job, go to grad school. I know you want to make a difference. Keep this in mind as you do that. Remember the different walks of life that you've seen here. All the colors, races, religions, athletes, academic nuts. hippies, fraternity boys, sorority girls, different sexual makeups. Understand, whatever is different from you is just that. It's just different. We all know that the majority in this world decides who is the other. And we also know that discrimination wears a whole lot more masks than just black and white. There's age. In fact, there are more age discrimination cases than any other. There's discrimination because of physical abilities. Yo, man, that dog can't play no ball. I don't want to hang out with him. There's discrimination because of mental abilities.
Well, I graduated magna cum laude.
I graduated thank you, Lordy. All these levels, and we make meaning from them. If you put those differences up on a wall, some of them you can see and some of them you can't. Differences in people is like a cube. Some of the sides you can see, others have more depth. Some of the sides you can only see parts of, and others you can't see at all. People making a difference need to be aware of that paradigm. We also need to be aware of stereotypical tendencies. We tend to value height, and we equate that with influence. We value intelligence, and we equate that with worldliness. If you want to make a difference, you have to understand whatever prejudices you have, and we all have them. Understand where they came from, and then figure out, all right, how do I check myself? Let's say I had a 3.8 GPA when I was here. I didn't. But let's just say I did. If I don't know how to talk to people, if I don't know how to reach across that sphere and connect with somebody, and my GPA is just for GP. Given the way this world is changing, we cannot depend on stereotypical tendencies. If we do that, we're going to lose money, we're going to lose customers, we're going to lose constituents, we're going to lose the faith of a child, and more importantly, we're going to have a child lose faith in us. Every time you speak for the rest of your life, you will be making somebody else's reality, especially in relationships. Woo, dog, especially in relationships. Fellas, I'm going to speak to y'all for a second. When you're in a relationship with your lady, they will not communicate like us. It is impossible. Don't try. Don't try and talk to your lady like you're talking to one of your boys. It's impossible to do. I came home from work one day a few years ago, and I asked my wife, I said, baby, did you go to the mall today? And she said, no, I didn't go to the mall. I said, well, did you go to the mall today? She said, no, I didn't go to the mall today. I said, well, what's that Nordstrom's bag doing by the corner? She said, oh, I just stopped by there for a quick second. Stopping by the mall for a quick second is not going to the mall. Guys, you are in a relationship with a woman. You are not in a relationship with a man who looks like a woman. Do you want to be right, or do you want to get your point across? Do you want to be right, or do you really want to communicate? Ladies, I'm talking to you two. It doesn't matter who you're talking to, whether it's a boss, a colleague, a neighbor, a stranger, a child. Use language that they will understand. Don't force them to understand you. Right about now, my wife is up there going, who is that man up at the podium? Because he don't live in my house. I know what to do, I just don't know how to do it. You have power in your words. Don't be afraid to use it. Whether you're addressing diverse groups of people or diverse groups, period. There is power in your words. Again, don't be afraid to use it. Whether you're addressing 5 kids at a summer camp or whether you're addressing Congress. There's also power in humility. We oftentimes have trouble saying, I'm sorry. We either don't say it or we go, well, I'm sorry, but see what happened. See, I couldn't get it done. But takes away all the power from an apology. If you do somebody wrong, look them in the eye and say, I'm sorry. There's really nothing else that they can say. You own the strength in that. Of course, doing that and thinking about it, two completely different things. To do that kind of thing, you got to have confidence. You got to have self-awareness. And to do that, you have to have enlightenment. And one of the best ways to have enlightenment is to take the buzz out of your speech. And to surround yourself with friends who keep you honest about doing what you say you're going to do when you say you're going to do it. Keep yourself grounded in reality and not just your own reality. You might think you look good in that spandex dress. Or them polyester pants that ain't got no pleats in the front, gripping your behind like it's 1978. But you might want to ask one of your more truthful friends before you go to the club at night. Making a difference means being honest with yourself about yourself. And that's hard to do. It really is, because that means getting out of your comfort zone. Maybe talking to somebody that you might not normally talk to. Talking to somebody who's new in the neighborhood or new in the job. Talking to somebody who intimidates you just by looking at them. Talking to somebody that you have absolutely nothing in common with. Being honest with yourself about yourself also means self-reflection. That's that alone time when nobody's around. It doesn't really matter what you do with it, whether you pray, or read, or listen to that new Jill Scott CD, or just meditate. It's funny, we often equate being alone with loneliness, and it's two different things. Some of the times in life I've been loneliest is when there's a ton of people around. When I first heard about some of the opposition to my speaking here, I was in my office with about four people. And it was weird because I wasn't angry, I wasn't sad, but I felt lonely because I thought, oh man, here I go again. I got to stand up and I got to prove that I am a journalist and not just an entertainer. But then I realized something that I didn't realize 14 years ago when a news director told me, said, you suck. You will never make it in this business. And yes, those were the words he used. And when he said that, man, that fueled my drive, and that continued to fuel my drive throughout my career. It fueled it every time a magazine or newspaper critic slams me because they don't know what player hating means. Because they don't realize that they're player hating me. It fueled my drive every time a colleague comes down to me for making an Alpha Phi Alpha Omega sci-fi reference and says, you know, if you want to make a fraternity reference, why don't you use the movie Animal House? Thinking to myself, I got to stand up and shout again, yo, dog, man, your view of reality, your world, is not the world. People making a difference got to understand this. Where you were raised, how you were raised, what shapes you, is only a small slice of the pie. You might not like, you might not understand all the other slices, but you at least have to accept that there are other slices of the pie than you've known. About 10 minutes after I heard about the opposition to my speaking here, it didn't bother me anymore, because I realized a long time ago, I don't have to prove anything to anybody but myself. And I'm secure in the knowledge that I do that every single day that I wake up. I felt like, you know what, I don't have to prove to anyone that I'm worthy of this honor. I'll get up here, I'll give you who I am. If it's good enough, cool. If it's not, I still got my two little girls to go home to. And the thing is, one of the professors who was most vocal about me coming here, she and I ended up talking. And she told me, she said, it's not a personal thing. It really had to do with some drama between the university and the athletic department, and she was really looking forward to me coming, so turns out everything's cool. For the record, though, I will say that I agree with a Raleigh radio DJ, and he said, I'd rather go hear Stewart than some politician. He then added, if it's a matter of Stewart and Jennifer Lopez, I'd rather go see J-Lo. Dog, I'm with you. I would too, man. When you get to be 35 years old, you start appreciating things in life that you probably thought were soft or a little bit sentimental in college. I ran across some things recently by a guy named Paul Harvey, sort of like lessons for life. He said, learn humility by being humiliated. Learn honesty by being cheated. Get a black eye fighting for something you believe in. See puppies born and see your old dog put to sleep. I've been blessed enough to do all those. It really is a matter of perspective and appreciating your own perspective. Something else that I agree with, and this comes from being a parent. When you have kids, teach them how to pray, teach them not to talk to strangers, teach them to look both ways before they cross the street, then you pray and let it go. You won't get it right, you're gonna make mistakes, but you will get it. The thing about diversity, understanding it, trying to grow from it, trying to learn from it, understanding that there are a huge number of people that come together to form this world that you all are about to walk headfirst into is this. You will do what you want to do. You will make a difference, and not in that Hallmark card way of making a difference, but in the way that's important with kids. Maybe it's your kids, your nieces, nephews, somebody else's kids, kids in summer camp, some kid that you just might say hello to in a park. Some cliches are true. Just as your mothers and fathers and aunts and uncles raised you to shape the world, and you are about to, you're going to help raise the next generation to take over from where you left off. The best thing about kids is their honesty. I talked about it earlier. Kids already have it, the ability to be honest with yourself about yourself and by extension others. And sometimes that honesty is embarrassing. My six-year-old and I and my wife and my other daughter were in a restaurant one day, and this elderly couple, they were sitting across from us. And you know how elderly couples like to see the family unit? So the lady comes over and she says, "You have a very, very beautiful family and very beautiful little girl." So I say to Taylor, my six-year-old, I say, "Taylor, say thank you." And she's just staring at this lady's husband because he got this red discoloration thing on his head. And Taylor looks at the lady and says, matter of fact, like, "You might want to take him to the doctor to see what that red mark is on his head." She even got me with that honesty thing. On her fifth birthday, I was working out of town, so I called her that morning. You know, I'm feeling emotional. It's my baby girl's birthday. I'm not home. She says, "Daddy, I don't have time to talk to you. I'm eating breakfast." I said, "Taylor, hold up, man. Just give me a minute. Will you please give me a minute?" I got a little bit misty. I said, "Look, I love you more than anything. I love your sister. You and your sister are God's biggest gifts that you've ever given me. I'm getting emotional." And she interrupts me. She says, "Daddy," and I think she's going to say, "I love you too." I go, "What, baby?" She says, "Has it been a minute yet?" So I said, "Yeah, baby, it's been a minute. So before you ask me that same question, has it been a minute yet? I'll close. I'll leave you with this, though. Other than family and kids, greatest thing in the world, friends, real unconditional friends. I think some people come of age in high school, but I think most of us come of age in college. It is the first time and really the only time in your life that you really ever have complete freedom and not a whole lot of responsibility. And because of that dynamic, because you are living with your friends, they become your family, and they're the ones that you keep for the rest of your life. Someone once said of friendship, everybody hears what you say. Your friend listens to what you say. Your best friend listens to what you don't say. Somebody else once said of friendship, your friend is somebody who knows the song in your heart and can sing it back to you when you've forgotten the words. Cherish your friendships. Understand the power in your words. Understand and embrace diversity. And go make a difference. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you, Stuart. We're proud to have you represent us as a Tar Heel to this nation.